We're on with Don Lloyd this morning from Associated Bank. Don, good morning.
Steve, good morning.
Tell us again what you do there at Associated Bank before we begin our conversation this morning.
Sure. I run what we call the Capital Markets Group, which is a fancy way of saying I'm responsible for all the foreign exchange, interest rate, and commodity, particularly oil and natural gas hedging that the bank does. I've got a team of 14 people, most of them in Chicago, some up in Green Bay, and we basically talk to corporate clients, commercial real estate clients. We pretty much cover the entire bank in the hedge products that we sell.
Yeah, I'm betting that you and the investors you work with are closely looking over economic data from parts of the Eurozone this morning, specifically from Great Britain, the UK, with new numbers out that shows they're officially in a recession. They've been hit really hard, haven't they?
They sure have. Just released was their second quarter GDP and their July GDP. And of all the major economies that are out there, Great Britain is the one that is slowest to rebound. They are certainly struggling out there. And the numbers that came out recently show exactly that. I mean, if you take a look at their July GDP, although it was up 8.7%, that was pretty much expected because last month's release was so poor. They expected some type of a rebound. You know, the big news was the second quarter GDP, which came out down 20.4%. So they are really struggling when you're comparing it to the EU, even the US, Canada. They all seem to be having a little bit more of a rebound going on than Great Britain.
Also, some numbers out of China, too. What, as investors based in this country, should we be looking at specifically when we look at some of this data that's coming in?
Yep, Purchasing Managers Index. You know, that's the thing that everybody's got their fingers on the pulse for, and that's what seems the market is focusing on when it comes to how strong is the heartbeat there. And China does have a little bit of a heartbeat. You know, they had expansion in their PMI, their Purchasing Managers Index. And that seems to be the lead economic piece of data that the market is looking at to see just how far this rebound has come. So what's happening on the dollar side is that the U.S. dollar has weakened against currencies. And there's a whole mix going on there. And part of that is this PMI and how other countries are responding and coming out of an economic slowdown that you've seen with the pandemic going on, and how the U.S. is setting itself up for a little bit slower of a response. That is being driven by, you know, the stimulus package, another one coming out that seems to be stalling in the U.S. And that was on the back of the EU $2 trillion stimulus package that they passed a week or two ago. So you've got this lift going on over in Europe, and you've got some strong headwinds now that are hitting the U.S., and that is tilting the FX market against the U.S. in favor of the euro. You've seen a 5% strengthening of the euro against the U.S. dollar because of that. So that seems to be the dynamics that's going on in the market and what we're focused on right now. And, you know, this is going to unfold day to day, month to month, or as these numbers come out. But those seem to be the major key factors that everyone's looking at right now.
Don, I've seen a number of economists who are saying, you know, we should get another stimulus approved in this country. What lessons, as you bring up what's happening in the Eurozone and elsewhere, can we learn from not doing that?
It's certainly a political nightmare, isn't it? I mean, they're kicking this thing around like a soccer ball. And, you know, the people who really need it the most are the ones that are suffering in the U.S. That's what I'm learning from this thing. And the markets sort of sit back and they're trying to follow this and tend to be chasing their tail like a cat, if you will, or a dog chasing it around as news breaks and both sides of the aisle seem to be making headway, and then all of a sudden they're not making headway anymore. But, you know, as it stands right now, it certainly looks like the stimulus package or this next round of it is on hold. You know, the two big things that seem to be holding up are federal dollars that they want allocated to unemployment benefits. And then the other one is how much federal dollars should be allocated to city and states that have lost tax revenues. So, you know, the Democrats want one number, Republicans want another number, and they seem to be getting jammed down into this pretty much. And right now it doesn't look like there's going to be any movement anytime soon, possibly not before the election, probably after the election sometime. So, again, that sort of tips things in favor of this $2 trillion package that the EU pushed out and seemed to come to an agreement. But, you know, Steve, the EU really had to pass that $2 trillion stimulus package, because if they didn't, I think that could have sent a very big message to the markets, the global markets, that the EU, as a cooperative, independent country that's sort of in this co-op, this agreement that they have with each other, can't come to a consensus. So, you know, it was a big bell ringer, you know, as far as, you know, how you're able to get all these countries coming together and make an agreement. But had they not come to that agreement, I think you would have seen a very, very strong dollar, devastating for the EU. So they really had no choice but to come together.
You know, you mentioned the weaker dollar. With the weaker dollar always comes stronger gold prices, or mostly. Talk to us a little bit about how we might position our portfolios, either with gold or something else that you see regularly in your world. What would be the play?
Sure. And isn't gold the sort of the youngest kid that now has taken the spotlight from all the major asset classes that are out there? Gold has always sort of been this back burner. You know, it's just sort of there. It's not that volatile. And, you know, it was always nice to hold a little bit in gold, maybe 10% of your portfolio. You know, I always heard 10 to 15% in your portfolio. Some gold, but not a lot of gold. Gold is the thing that's moving around right now. The volatility in gold has surpassed everything. I mean, we have seen a 20% increase in price, in the price of gold, as it popped through 2,000, almost to $2,100 an ounce. Silver followed as well. Actually, silver led the whole thing. But, you know, you've got gold moving now, hit through that $2,000 an ounce mark, and now it's sold off on profit taking. And the next thing you know, you wake up and you're down to 1930. The volatility of gold just reared its head overnight. A lot of that was on the back of a weaker dollar, or how the market perceives a weaker dollar. If you have a weaker dollar, more euros will buy more U.S. dollars that can buy more gold. That's the whole idea. More foreign currency converted to U.S. dollars, because gold is priced in U.S. dollars, can buy more gold. And that is what started this whole lift going up, started this whole lift. Now what seems to be happening is there is a rebound going on in the globe, and that rebound is going to continue and quite possibly lead to higher interest rates. Can you believe that? I mean, the market is finally talking about maybe higher interest rates all of a sudden, when the Fed has come out and said, we're probably going to keep interest rates low through 2021. So, you know, the market is way ahead of itself. I think it just shows you just how confused and looking for some type of guidance and information that's going on out there. And it's creating this tremendous volatility in gold. 20% price changes. It's fantastic. I mean, being a trader, it's a lot of fun.
As we move into the latter half of the year, a lot of companies are setting budgets for 2021. What would you say is the best way to set a budget when dealing with future exchange rates? I know that's difficult to forecast, but your advice may help with budget setting.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Steve, because that is a very, very key point. And you're absolutely right. We're getting into the time of year where we're getting a lot of phone calls from our corporate clients saying, we're setting 2021 budget, as if that's not hard enough, but we have to set currency expectations. You know, we do a lot of business in Canada, a lot of business in Mexico. Where do you think the Canadian dollar is going to be in 2021? What do you think the average of the Mexican peso will be in 2021? And here's what companies do, Steve. They pick up the phone, they call their local banker, and they call the foreign exchange department, and they say, where do you think the Canadian dollar is going to be in 2021? Now, keep in mind, I don't have any more information than anyone else. I mean, I live in the markets, but my guess for 2021 is no different from your guess in 2021. Statistically, you cannot forecast foreign exchange rates with any accuracy. Yet companies, the vast majority of them, will sit there and ask me where I think it will be. Or they will ask five banks and they'll take an average. So they're asking people's opinions on where we think the market's going to be on something that can't be forecasted. The correct way to do it, a better way to do it, is to sit there and say, hey, Don, if I were to hedge all of my Canadian exposure right now today for 2021, what rate would that be? And I can give them a real rate, a real market rate on that, something that they can actually use and hedge. The problem with that is that that rate will be different 5 minutes from now, 5 hours from now, 5 days from now. It will be different because the market moves. So the second mistake that a company will make if they go that route, which is a better way to go, they will sit there and they'll say, hey, Don, I talked to you a month ago. I asked you, you know, if I were to hedge, here's the rate you gave me. But 30 days have gone by and now we've sort of redone our budget and we're getting ready to approve it. And they never come back to me and say, hey, Don, where could I hedge now? They don't update the rate, but the market has changed. So a lot of them will begin 2021 in a negative variance to budget because they did not make that last phone call right before it was going to be set and approved to say, hey, Don, where's the market now or if I were to hedge? So then they come to me in January and they say, oh, my gosh, I'm 8% out or 5% out negative variance to my budget. It's like, right, because you used a budget, an indication back from October or back from September. You needed to refresh that thing before it went for approval. So that's the message that I think has got to get out to the business market, especially in times like this when volatility is coming back, the dollar is moving again. You know, exchange rates are going to mean a whole lot more in 2021 than they did in 2020 and 2019, where we had very low volatility, because the volatility is coming back, and we're seeing that already. So that's what I would say. Don't sit there and ask what I think, or, you know, ask a trader where they think the dollar is going to be next year. Sit there and ask, if I were to hedge right now, what would that price be? And then ask it again, and ask it again a week from now, and a month from now, and all the way up to the time that you're going to approve that budget. So that's the advice that I would give companies right now.
And the good thing is Don is always at the phone ready to answer it, so there's no excuse for getting a hold of him to have either a conversation about this or one-on-one about something else. Don, what is that number and how can people reach you?
Sure. It can be reached at 866-524-8836. That is the number to the trading desk where any one of 14 people can pick up the phone. Or I'm always available at donald.lloyd@associatedbank.com. That's my personal email address at work.
Don, great conversation as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good week.